You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In the government's 2024 budget, over $5 billion have been allocated to military spending. Despite this being a slight increase from the actual numbers spent on the military over the past few years, this still equates to over $111 million per week. Producer Joel spoke to coordinator of peace movement Aotearoa, Edwina Hughes, about the 2024 budget and her thoughts on money allocation to military services as opposed to other services. They started off by asking her how much the military has been allocated in previous years.
So the amount of money allocated for military spending in budget 2024, which is more than $5.7 billion, or an average of more than $111 million every week, it's slightly less than the actual amount spent over the past financial year, but it's much higher than in earlier years, in previous years before that.
Which public services or sectors are most affected by the cuts in funding? What are the specific impacts on these sectors?
We don't work specifically on the funding cuts to public services, but we are aware that many have been cut. You know, for example, the Ministry for Pacific Peoples, Fire and Emergency desperately needs funding. The National Emergency Centre desperately needs funding. The National Emergency Management Centre, and so on and so forth. There have been funding cuts across the board, but our focus is on military spending and how that fits in with the government's desire to cut wasteful and unnecessary spending.
What are the economic implications of maintaining a high military budget for New Zealand's overall fiscal health?
Well, our perspective is that it's a waste of money. The only reason that New Zealand spends so much on armed forces is for increased combat capability is to send the armed forces to areas of armed conflict or war. And that's not something that directly affects us here in the very far South Pacific. And so it's not something that New Zealand should be paying for. In the region, as well as here in Aotearoa, the biggest security threat in terms of human safety and well-being at the moment is clearly the climate emergency. And Pacific leaders, for example, have said that repeatedly, but New Zealand keeps sticking to this old-fashioned, very outdated and very narrow concept of military security, which is actually harmful. You know, there are so many costs involved with maintaining and upgrading combat-ready armed forces, so the impact on social and economic well-being, the environmental and climate change costs, and so on and so forth. There's nothing really that isn't impacted by this desire to keep spending billions every year on armed forces.
What actions or campaigns has Peace Movement Aotearoa planned to address these budget allocation concerns?
We coordinate a number of humanitarian disarmament campaigns, and one of them is the Aotearoa New Zealand campaign on military spending. So that's part of the global campaign. So one of our key areas of work is ongoing research into the impacts that it's not only military spending itself, it's military activities are a major contributor to climate change in two ways. One is military emissions are not registered, they're not measured properly or even recorded in terms of all the different climate change agreements, and yet the estimate for global military emissions, so climate harming emissions we're talking about here, is around at least 5.5% of the global total. So New Zealand's contributing to that, right? But there's also the direct impacts on the environment from incessant training, the use of explosive weapons, damaging the environment, harming the marine environment, impacting on biodiversity, and so on and so forth. The list is really endless when it comes to the impacts of militarism and militarisation.
Those are all the questions I have for today. Is there anything else you would like to add?
One of them is that this continued focus on increasing combat capability comes hand in hand with this, particularly with the change of government at the end of last year, although this has applied across several New Zealand governments, which is a much decreased focus on disarmament. And so, for example, New Zealand makes a lot of its position in terms of the international stage that it's a nuclear-free nation and so on and so forth. But yet, at the same time, it's increasingly engaged with military activities, so whether that's military training or military involvement with other armed forces, with the three nuclear-armed states that predominate in terms of military activity in the Pacific. So that's the United States, Britain and France. So New Zealand has increasingly closer military ties with those states, and New Zealand armed forces are increasingly interoperable with those states, which means that New Zealand may not directly have its own nuclear weapons, but it is increasingly part of military alliances that are nuclear armed. And then there's other aspects of disarmament as well, like the current government, they got rid of the disarmament and arms control portfolio, which was established under the New Zealand's nuclear-free disarmament and arms control legislation in the 1980s. So there isn't really even a government spokesperson on disarmament. So these are the sorts of things that New Zealand could be positively contributing to the world instead of continuing to fund expensive combat-capable armed forces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.